Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Folks, everyone knows that carbon dioxide, CO2, is damaging our climate and our world, right? Indeed, our government, including our Pentagon, says climate change is our biggest crisis and our military's biggest crisis. Well, over 1,600 science professionals disagree. They recently published a document saying that there is no climate emergency, that climate change science isn't conclusive, and that the Earth's history over thousands of years shows a constantly changing climate. They say limitations of current climate models overemphasize the effects of greenhouse gases, such as CO2. And those models ignore the fact that enriching the atmosphere with CO2 is beneficial. Further, the actual warming observed is less than what was predicted by the climate models, revealing our incomplete understanding of climate change. So if it's science we respect, our military can forget the global warming nonsense and maybe focus a little on being combat ready? Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, I suspect that the terrorist's day of rage got you some more students. This is definitely a time for all capable Americans to be armed and alert, right?
Yeah, that's for sure, Colonel. If you've been holding off on getting trained and getting armed, you shouldn't really hold off any longer because things are getting a little rough out there, Colonel.
Well, clearly the terrorists want to eliminate Israel, and Israel is the little Satan. The big Satan is America. And we've got how many terrorists across our southern border? I agree with you. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On this economist by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the war in Israel. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Jimmy Smith from Concerned Veterans for America will join us to discuss some of our nation's challenges, including how we're not helping vets like we're supposed to. Then we'll meet Marine vet Modesto De La O. He developed Foxhole, a way to deal with PTSD. And this being football season, football co-host Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. So now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Let me start with three important things. First, the rocket that killed 500 people in the Gaza hospital explosion was fired by Islamic terrorists. Israel released the drone footage and wiretapped call that prove it. And besides that, you can't always believe the first thing you hear, particularly in war. However, it's my experience over the years that the terrorists around Israel will both target hospitals and launch rockets from hospitals in order to draw Israeli return fire. They don't care who dies. They just want to make Israel look bad. And in response to that attack on the hospital, the U.S. Embassy in Beirut, Lebanon, was targeted by pro-Palestinian protesters. They started a fire at the complex. Our military had to deploy both gas and smoke to disrupt the protesters. It's still dangerous over there. And finally, in Ukraine, our Army's new tactical missile system may have dealt one of the most serious blows of all times to the Russian Air Force by striking airfields so far from the front lines they're used to being safe. Now, this is from the first reports. We've got to wait and see what other reports say. And this comes after the British Shadow precision missiles made the Russian Black Sea Fleet all but irrelevant. Maybe the war will be getting ready to end soon. I sure hope so. Okay, Skip, take it from here.
Well, Colonel, NATO has committed to sending the munitions that Israel will need in its emerging war with Hamas. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says America will be sending security assistance in the form of provisions and equipment to Israel without any conditions. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has specifically named both Iran and Hezbollah as possibly lending a hand in the attacks, though Iran continues to dispute these claims. Many NATO member nations have pledged assistance for Israel. This comes after NATO spent the last 18 months being very cautious about arming Ukraine or sending Kiev the munitions needed to fight the war against Russia.
Well, Ukraine has received a great deal of support and can't account for a lot of what we provided. Everyone knows that Israel is a strong ally and that the terrorism is a threat to all nations. logic says that all free nations should stand with Israel against the evil terrorists.
And the Biden administration earlier this year tapped the Council on American Islamic Relations for an initiative to curb anti-Semitism. Now, the anti-Semitic group and its leaders defended Hamas attacks that have killed more than 1,000 Jews. The White House announced in May that the Council on American Islamic Relations would take part in its national strategy to combat anti-Semitism. As part of the initiative, CARE launched a nationwide tour to educate religious minority communities on how to protect their houses of worship from hate incidents. At the time, critics slammed the White House for partnering with CARE, which has a history of anti-Semitism and was linked to Hamas in a federal terrorism case in 2007. Now CARE is condoning the largest attack in Israel's history, raising further questions about the administration's affiliation with the controversial group. Hamas fighters invaded the Jewish state in a surprise attack, killing hundreds of civilians and taking dozens of women and children hostage. The terrorist group said it will televise executions of hostages if certain demands are not met.
CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, has been a clear supporter of terrorism from the beginning. No one with any sense would expect anything else from them. Indeed, we need to be watching them as terrorism spreads. They're an evil people. They shouldn't even be allowed in our country.
The U.S. Space Force has instituted a temporary ban on the use of web-based artificial intelligence tools like ChatGPT, citing concerns over potential data leaks and security vulnerabilities. The ban, detailed in a memorandum dated September 29 and sent to the Guardian Workforce, official parlance for Space Force members, restricts the application of government data on these AI platforms. It explicitly states that such tools are not authorized for deployment on official systems without special sanction. This comes at a time when tools such as OpenAI's ChatGPT have surged in adoption, tapping into LLMs that use enormous data troves to both predict and generate new textual content. These systems are not just linguistic prodigies. They can sift through vast document banks, extracting crucial information and representing it in assorted styles. The memo, authored by the Space Force's Chief Technology and Innovation Officer, said the pause aims to safeguard personnel and agency data while officials determine appropriate policies for integrating AI capabilities that support missions. They acknowledge the transformative potential of generative AI, but emphasize the need for responsible adoption given cybersecurity, data handling, and procurement uncertainties. While the specifics remain under wraps, experts have highlighted the potential risk LLMs could pose. The extensive and occasional non-public data used in training these models may inadvertently leak or become susceptible to hacking attempts.
I'm not very geeky, but I am really glad they're being extra careful in this area. Really glad.
AI is a little scary to me, Colonel.
Amen.
Air Force investigators are raising the alarm over a significant increase in laser pointers being aimed at aircraft, with more than 9,000 incidents reported last year alone. Personal laser pointers, small beam projectors used for everything from professors during college lecture presentations to motivating your cat to exercise at home, can cause serious damage to a pilot's eyesight and result in distractions for aircraft, according to the Air Force's Officer of Special Investigations. According to data from the Federal Aviation Administration, there was a surge in reported laser incidents, with 2021 marking a 41% increase in aircraft laser strikes compared to 2020. In 2022, there were almost 9,500 incidents reported. And in 2023, so far, over 7,400 incidents have been recorded, with nearly 3 months still left in the year. Quote, these are not harmless pranks. There's a risk of causing permanent visual impairment, an OSI center official said. From the public standpoint, misusing lasers can severely impact a person's ability to see and function. The small handheld lasers can often point a beam at an object from thousands of feet away. When a laser reaches an aircraft cabin or cockpit, it can cause temporary disorientation, blindness, or even long-lasting optical damage. There have been several incidents of lasers being aimed at military aircraft in recent years.
Well, I trust that there are laws prohibiting this. This needs to be taught to students at every level. If this can't be really controlled, then perhaps lasers should be banned. I'm not sure what to do here.
And the White House said that U.S. military combat support in Israel is for now firmly off the table, drawing a bright line as the bloody war with Hamas continues to develop and the USS Gerald Ford carrier strike group remains in the region. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told reporters that the Israelis have made it very clear that they don't want foreign troops on their soil, that they want to prosecute these operations on their own, and they have every right to want to do that. As a result, there are no intentions, no plans to put American troops on the ground in combat, Kirby said.
My information confirms the statement. Israel does not want or need foreign troops to assist them as they deal with this attack, as they take out this enemy. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Please do check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk issues with Jimmy Smith from Concerned Veterans for America. At ease, troops, take a break.
There is no doubt veterans sacrifice and service to this country. For decades now, troops have been sent around the globe to fight, putting their lives on the line, but with no clear U.S. interest to protect.
To honor that sacrifice, Concerned Veterans for America is working to end our nation's endless wars. As veterans ourselves, we know a better foreign policy can make our troops and our country safer.
Learn more about how you can help by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less-than-lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. And now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Troops, we're going to talk about Israel and the war going on there. I suspect you've all heard a great deal about the crisis there, maybe too much. Let me provide a bit of background. In early 1977, I was an Army major returning from a three-year tour in Germany. While in Germany, I spent a week in Israel. I was assigned to U.S. Readiness Command at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida. I became the Middle East war planner there and served for a bit over 4 years. This created an interest in me that still exists. I've stayed interested in and focused on the Middle East since then. And several years ago, I went back to Israel and spoke with many of their military troops and visited many of the areas of conflict. Islam, like all religions, has a number of key issues that are a part of its foundation. And like all other religions, some subgroups subscribe to some of the key issues, but not all of them. Or they interpret them differently. In Christianity, that has led to different denominations. Even among members of the same denomination, different people ascribe to some doctrines, but not others. It's like that in Islam, too. And, yes, one of the basic Islamic issues is death to all non-believers, and that a heavenly reward awaits those who die while attacking non-believers. None of the Muslims I know subscribe to this issue at all. It's my observation that very few Muslims around the world subscribe to it, or if they do, they have no desire to kill anyone. However, Islam has a huge number of followers, and if only one in a million Muslims bought into this, that would be a huge number. Israel was a nation in the Middle East until the Romans drove many of the Jews out of there about 2,000 years ago. Many Jews remained and lived there with the Christians and Muslims for centuries. After the Nazis attempted to murder all the Jews during World War II, the Holocaust, many Jews, with the encouragement of many nations, including the United Kingdom, who controlled much of the land in that area, moved back to their homeland. They didn't displace any other nation. There never was a nation called Palestine, and they did create or recreate a Jewish nation and government. Indeed, Israel is the only true democracy in the entire Middle East. It's a parliamentary democracy like England. Other nations in the areas have elections, but the military can and often does overturn governments. there is a Muslim political party that is active in the Jewish nation and parliament. Muslim citizens of Israel have the same rights as all other citizens. Now, when the Jews started moving into Israel at the end of World War II, a large number of Muslims moved out. And for the most part, they ended up in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Many folks, especially the Muslim nations in the area, called them abused refugees. Note that none of these Islamic nations welcomed the abused refugees into their nations to help them get settled. That's what happens everywhere else in the world when there are refugees. That's true for all of history. Anyway, the United Nations decided to help these poor refugees and, among other things, built schools for them and let the radical Muslims run the schools where the children have been taught for generations to hate and want to kill all Jews. Okay, Hamas. It started out as a pure terrorist group, totally supported by Iran, and they get, even today, over 90% of their funding from Iran. Their goal was, and is, to kill Jews, not just the people who live in Israel, all Jews everywhere. Well, at some point, the people of Gaza decided to form a government, and they elected Hamas as their government. And it's fully expected that if the people on the West Bank had an election, they'd vote Hamas in too. So the residents of those areas are like the citizens of Japan and Germany in World War II. They have the government they want. The current attack took place almost 60 years to the day after the Yom Kippur War. Yom Kippur is the holiest day in the Jewish year, probably the reason it was picked for the attack. The war 60 years ago was an attack intended to totally eliminate all Jews. This year's attack, with its attack on many cities, the taking of hostages, the killing of citizens, including children, and the horrible way things are still going, shows that this is not just a terrorist attack like has been going on from the beginning. This is much bigger. So Israel's response must be much bigger. In the past, Israel would always offer peace and land if the warring nations would recognize Israel and agree to live in peace with Israel. That offer was never accepted. So in this war, I fully expect Israel to attack and destroy Hamas and the other terrorist groups that support them. And just as we did in World War II, when we bombed German and Japanese cities, we did what was then necessary to win and end the war. I expect and hope that Israel will do exactly that, pound them into the ground, just as we and our allies did. Our victory brought peace, and peace is good. As we did in World War II, Israel is conducting war according to the international rules of war against terrorists who hide behind citizens and who do not follow these rules. I'm not suggesting the Israeli nation does everything right. I am saying that they are a legitimate government that has been in place for 70 years and is a very good and safe place to live, not so safe when the terrorists are attacking. We need to openly and publicly stand with Israel. We should offer them whatever support they need. And what they need right now is for us to stand with them and have their backs. One more little point. The radical Muslim terrorists refer to Israel as the little Satan. The big Satan is the United States. And millions of illegal aliens have crossed into our nation in the past couple of years. We know some of them are terrorists. Might we be the next hit? Why would we not be? Get prepared. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some more wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Last year, the Air Force announced a new program that would allow applicants who drug tested positive for THC, which is the active compound of marijuana, the chance to retest and potentially be allowed to enlist. They only anticipated maybe 50 cases a year. However, the Air Force recruiting has stated that in the first year of the program, the service has granted 165 waivers for candidates who retested and were shown to be free of THC. The Air Force has been making attempts to remove barriers to service after they missed their active duty enlisted recruiting goals by 11%. It was the first time since 1999 that the Air Force had missed their projected numbers. The recruiting situation could have been much worse if it wasn't for the THC policy change. The Air Force General in charge of recruiting has said that there's absolutely no place in the Air Force or the Space Force for drug use, but allowing a second test in the recruiting process, it was the right thing to do. Although becoming less taboo and legalized on a state-by-state basis, marijuana remains outlawed on the federal level as a Schedule 1 drug, and the military has zero tolerance for other Schedule 1 drugs, such as ecstasy, heroin, or meth. However, the other services have provided waivers for recruits for marijuana use since it's become more popular. And as more states adopt more leniency towards the cannabis, the Air Force is likely to see even more waivers in the future. As of right now, only 10 states do not allow marijuana use in any form. So to be considered for a waiver, applicants have to score well on the Armed Forces Qualification Test. They've had to have graduated from high school and not have any other potential barriers to joining the service, such as medical or legal issues. The good news is, of all the military branches, they're not seeing any difference in the performance by recruits that have received the THC waivers. All of the military services have been struggling to find young Americans who are fit enough, healthy enough, and sober enough to join. So this waiver program may just be what the Air Force needs. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Hey, thanks, Roland. That was great. I enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss some of our nation's challenges with Jimmy Smith from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll talk with Marine vet Mo De La O about PTSD. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds, take a break, box another three, then stand at ease.
HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show Army vet Jimmy Smith from Concerned Veterans for America. CVA provides a great deal of very rare commodity that's honest and accurate information about our nation's military and our challenges. So that's why I like having them on. Thanks for joining us today, Jimmy. I'm glad this could work.
Colonel, I greatly appreciate it. Yes, CVA is known as a organization that provides answers to many of the issues like foreign policy, as well as the issue of all the things that are going on at the VA.
Yes, sir. And again, it's so rare to have a source that is regularly honest and accurate. And CVA is my source for that. Okay. Jamie, start by telling us about your time in Mother Army. When and why did you join? What'd you do?
So I was that kid that grew up watching John Wayne, Audie Murphy, Vic Morrow, and all that stuff, and having BB gun wars in the woods of Florida. And as a young man at the age of 15, I wanted to join the military. They laughed at me, said, come back in 2 years. And I subsequently did and joined at the age of 17 in 1983. And that was a 20-year childhood in the military, as I like to joke about. But 20 years of serving our country and retired out after 20 years in 2003. And subsequently got involved in other things.
Okay. How did you end up working with CVA? How did you even know about them?
Well, so one of the things I ended up doing, one of the other things, was I actually ended up becoming a Florida House representative. And I wear my service on my sleeve. I don't necessarily wear the ball cap, but I wear the combat boots. And people kind of notice when I'm going around, I tend to still say hua. And so I end up becoming the vice chair and then subsequently chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs for the Florida House. And in that chair position, I led policy. Well, because you're leading policy, you have all these organizations that will come to you and talk to you. So during that time frame, they would come and lobby me and talk to me about important issues that could be addressed in Florida for veterans and how CVA stood on those issues. So that was my introduction to CVA. Again, they were being my answer to issues for veterans. And so when it came time, I was made aware of this position I'm currently holding, and I've been in this position now for 3 years, traveling the state and now the region, engaging individuals, state-level leaders, congressional members, and whoever else wants to be made aware of the issues and the answers when CVA is involved.
What is your title or position in Florida?
I am the coalitions director. So my job is to build relationships, pull those relationships together to help drive the issue and get Congress to support them. In our organization, they greatly appreciate the entrepreneurial aspect of individuals having the freedom to create the product. So for me, where I see a vision where we can raise or elevate CVA's brand and our priority initiatives, working with me, either we do it through social media, we do it through meetings, we do it through events, or we do it through direct engagement with our congressional members. And in that, I'm able to help raise brand awareness and awareness of what we think is the right issues to be addressed.
And CVA members and supporters can assist you in that too, can't they?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, and that's cv4a.org, cv4a.org. And there's a lot of good information on there. They can also go to our Overwatch, which is on that page, and check out all the things that we're addressing, like the consistent VA fails that are tending to happen more and more often that people need to be made aware of.
Yes, sir. And we'll come back to that. Okay. I guess we can't not start with Israel. That's such a horrendous situation over there. I don't truly understand. Well, I guess I do, but logically, I do not understand the people that are protesting, claiming that the Palestinians are the abused ones. I've been to Israel. That's not true. Well, they are being abused. They are being abused by the other Muslim countries that won't support them. But that's going to be one heck of a war, isn't it?
It's going to be one of those conflicts that's first and foremost unfortunate. And, you know, the whole aspect of that attack was abhorrent. It's just something that is going to leave a profound situation to deal with. And in that, America's answer, CVA's support for that answer is to make sure that we're fast-tracking already authorized delivery of military aid so that Israel, which has the right to defend itself, can do so.
Yes. And one area that I think is delightful is that Israel's made it clear they don't want our or anybody else's military troops. They can handle it, but they are looking for us to stand behind them. So that's a perfect fit from my perspective.
Well, and they are. And one of the things, though, that we're concerned about, because you got to look at the broader image here, is that we want to make sure we're supporting the effort in Israel. But you can see how our support for Ukraine has basically impacted that. So as an example, we have seen stockpiles of artillery moved from Israel to Ukraine. And now we find Israel would be in need of those. So, you know, we have artificially impacted Israel by moving our resources out to Ukraine.
Yes. We don't always make the wisest decisions in things like that, do we?
No, we don't. We have a failure in a foreign policy that isn't based on realism and, you know, how the world really is and what our actions are doing. And in this, we see that our actions of sending everything to Ukraine with this blank check and give them everything they want mentality has now impacted or potentially impacted a partner.
Indeed. Okay, let's talk about another issue. This one affects Florida directly, and that's our southern border issue. Does anybody know why we want an open border with millions of people we don't even know who they are or what they're here for or what diseases or anything else they care? What's the plus to that? Are you aware of anything?
No, I'm not. And, you know, CVA doesn't generally cover the border issue, but it goes into the overall lack of foreign policy. And that's where CVA comes into. You know, if we're concerned about our border with Mexico, then we should be concerned about our foreign policy. And this is really important because it feels like there is no concise foreign policy that America is currently following. And I think that it may be related into so many things like what's going on in Ukraine again, what potentially is going on the border and things like that. But it goes back to what is our foreign policy? And CVA is pushing for realism and restraint. We need to look at the world as it really is and only use the military when it is truly necessary. But going back to the border issue, it is a challenge that leaders need to start being more focused on. But if we're only focused on Ukraine, how can they be focused on that?
Well put, Jamie. Okay, this is Colonel Danny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Jimmy Smith from Concerned Veterans for America. Let's change directions and talk about how our government is supporting veterans. The budget growth in the Veterans Administration isn't what we would expect, is it?
Well, actually, it's far more than we would expect. And this is one of the things where people are greatly surprised. So in 2000, the budget was about 40 plus billion. Now it's 325 billion. Yet we see it, the outcomes are not respective of that increased spending. You know, Colonel, I have to tell you, you probably dealt with budgets in your time in the military. And whenever you were given a budget, I can only assume that there's an expectation of an outcome with that budget.
Yes, sir. And the outcome is definitely not what you'd expect or what anybody would expect. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, that's a true statement. And the reality is that more people keep coming to members of Congress and saying, well, we need to better fund the VA. Well, better funding is not the answer. It's what the veteran is actually getting for that funding. So as an example, I have TRICARE. I have choice in my health care. I can call the doctor today and be in either today or tomorrow, and then right away be given referrals out, and within a day or two be seeing that referral in my local community and building plans to get healthy again. But in the VA, all that, again, being provided by the government, the VA controls every aspect of it. And if you do eventually get to go into the community, they're also managing that. And in that management side, they're also trying to deny people the ability to do that.
Which is sort of the opposite of everything they said they were going to do, right?
Absolutely. So the question is, what is America's promise to veterans? Is it more government and more VA, or is it putting the veteran in charge of their health care, i.e. like Medicare, Medicaid, and us who are retired on TRICARE, we're in charge of our health care. Why is it that if you're disabled, you're not in charge of your health care, but if you're retired, you are?
There's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and particularly the VA, and Jimmy's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, twice this week so far anyway. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Army vet Jimmy Smith from Concerned Veterans for America. Jimmy, we were talking about the VA budget, and not the amount is inappropriate, but the support that it gives to veterans is inappropriate. One wonders where the money goes.
Well, and one of the things that you can see is recent reports have shown that the VA has actually had to go back and take millions back from overpayments of bonuses. But then you have to ask, how are these people getting bonuses? And there's a program that's supposed to give bonuses to individuals who are in needed areas. So if there's a shortage in a career field and you stay in that, they give you bonuses and things, which is great for maintaining employees. But a lot of the people who are getting bonuses are top tier administrative individuals. Well, there's never a lack of those individuals. So there's no realism in giving them bonuses. But worst of this is, in Florida, as an example, we have 7 VA hospitals. Of that, 2 are 1-star. One of them, which is not a 1-star, it's slightly higher rated, is Miami, though. And their AC keeps breaking down. Now think hot Miami weather. So they have had to turn away veterans who are coming there for elective surgeries. These leaders are getting bonuses for running a mediocre to poorly run hospital.
That does raise a question, doesn't it? Because I think, yes, there should be an impact on their income, but not in a positive way. If you're doing something mediocre, there should be a negative impact if there's an impact at all. You don't have to be an economic genius or a great business guy to figure that one out, do you?
No, you don't. And, you know, you think about it, America's promise, that tax dollars that is coming from the American taxpayer, everybody from the well-to-do to the just barely getting by, is all trying to make sure that they're keeping their promise to Americans who served. And in that, it should be about what's best for the veteran. And what we constantly tell people is that the choice I have in healthcare, or that, you know, my relatives who have Medicare and Medicaid have, well, the veterans should have the exact same thing. There is legislation out there right now to ensure they do. It's called the Mission Act and the Community Care Program. But the VA is, well, generally denying access or dissuading use of that program to veterans. So we know people that have been specifically denied access, and we know that there are scripts that are specifically dissuading the use of community care that allows veterans to go into the community to have choice.
Aren't there laws that require they provide more options, the VA?
Well, Colonel, I'm going to tell you, the VA is currently violating the law, has chosen, blatantly chosen, not to follow the law. So the VA Accountability Act in 2017 was passed by Marco Rubio, and the VA recently said, hey, you know what? We're just not going to follow this law anymore. And then when it comes to the Mission Act, the VA has basically said, we're not going to follow the law anymore. They have closed down the website. They closed down the office in D.C. for community care and so many other things. And like I said, they're dissuading the use of this program. So they are denying care to veterans, which, of course, is contrary to the entire promise of supporting veterans and providing care for them.
That does make you wonder who the VA is supposed to be supporting, the bureaucrats or the veterans, right?
Right. And that's why we're supporting legislation like the Veterans Healthcare Freedom Act. That is a pilot program that basically would take veterans in four different areas, because it's a pilot program, you do it in certain areas, in those four different areas, and they would basically have the VA be their insurance provider if they chose. They wouldn't be forced into it. They can go to the same VA they've always been going to, but if they choose, they would just be covered under the VA basically as if it was health insurance. So the veteran then can make their own appointments, go wherever they want, and would be treated like you and I are treated.
That makes sense, because what you've been just talking about is that veterans have been denied access to care that they're entitled to and have had before, right?
Right. And that's basically because you have the VA, which is government, that is having the oversight on every decision a veteran makes. And I can tell you, as somebody who goes to the healthcare system on my own, I make the best decisions for me.
Well, and if you don't, you know who to blame. I do the same thing. I have the same options you have, and I use the VA in some areas, and I don't in other areas. And when I do use the VA, I know I've got long wait times and all that kind of stuff. But at least at my VA, they talk to me and I know what's going on. But I know in other VAs, well, there doesn't seem to be a standard set that's enforced at every VA. Some VA facilities are really open and focused, and others are not so much. And it's sort of a loosey-goosey thing there, isn't it? That's what I've seen.
It absolutely is. It all depends on the local administrator. It depends on how they're interpreting what's coming down from on top, what they feel is beneficial. So there's the Office Inspector General for the VA has written up a number of surveys, and there's some facilities that are absolutely using the community care program to overcome the shortages, which is perfect. That's a great step. Then there's others that are basically denying access to veterans to get care. And there are people who want to get mental health counseling, and the VA basically dissuaded the use of going outside of the VA healthcare system for mental health. And let's admit it, if you are in that situation during the counseling phase before you get to crisis, that's when you should be caught. And if the VA can't provide it, but the civilian sector can, then right away you should be given that open door to go out into the community and be able to get the care. And that's the kind of choice that we are looking for veterans to get.
And it's what veterans deserve. I mean, not everybody in the military goes to war, but everybody could go to war. They all put their lives on the line to be used as our military needs them. And those that did go to war, particularly those that were injured while serving, gee, is there anybody that our nation owes support to more than them?
Well, but that's also one of the dilemmas here, Colonel, is a lot of people come to elected officials. So when I was elected officials, people would come to me and go, we need to do everything we can for our veterans. Sadly, in the past, quite often that everything has been more government, not more veteran. And the words of choice that we're using is to show that actually the effort should be more about the veteran, putting the veteran in charge and not just growing more government, throwing more tax dollars at the VA. Because as an example, that's a fourfold growth of the VA since 2000. And we are still seeing veterans not getting care. Yet, when you look at TRICARE, you don't see the same results. When you look at Medicare, Medicaid, you don't see the same results where they're being denied care just because of a bureaucratic system.
Yes, sir. That does need to change. Okay. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, let's take some time now and talk about Concerned Veterans for America, specifically what it does and how listeners can plug in and what kinds of things they can do if they plug in.
Well, first and foremost, what we do is we help develop answers to the situations in veterans' healthcare and foreign policy. But what we really do is we give the voice for veterans, right? So a lot of veterans don't know how to take their voice. So veterans are a trusted voice in America, but how do you take that voice and do something with it? So we provide the tools to do that. Everything from town halls that we've done in the past. We are active and engaged on social media at Concerned Vets on Twitter. And we also help by doing things like having them reach out to their congressional members. So many veterans don't realize that veterans are the number one trusted group of any demographic in the United States at this time. And in that, we have the ability to sway policy at the federal level to provide real answers. So we provide that tool of providing the veterans' voice. So right now, as an example, we are quite disappointed that in both of the debates, none of the candidates talked about the VA failing veterans and failing America's promise to veterans. Nothing was really addressed on that. They mentioned veterans, but in a very passing and dismissive fashion. Well, we give through social media, through our websites, through petitions, through phone banking, through so many other things, the ability to give those veterans that voice to call that out. So as an example, when we did Veterans Voices Count, we had so many people engaging with that on social media. I think it was over 4 million that engaged.
Okay. So you know how to plug it in and put it together. By the way, this is called Concerned Veterans for America, but you welcome non-veterans too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's quite often something that's a dilemma. We have so many veterans who their families are more advocates of them getting the quality health care than the veterans themselves, because the veteran is like, well, I don't want to take away from somebody else. And they're trying to self-sacrifice by not going into the VA because they feel that maybe it might impact a older veteran that will need the care, which is completely wrong. It doesn't impact any other veterans in any other way. But the family will push that veteran or speak up on behalf of that veteran as the veterans themselves try to make additional sacrifices for their fellow veterans. So yes, family, friends, anybody.
Not just family members, though, but any patriotic American who wants to stand up and stand up with veterans is welcome too, right?
Yes, sir, any. There's so many veterans organizations out there that are run by people that are not veterans themselves. And the goal is because they truly believe in what veterans sacrifice for the nation. And in that, they want to do all they can to help. So service animals, counseling, medical, dental, there's so many programs out there. Well, you can also be part of the voice of veterans to help make those changes too. So let's say you can't go out there and knock on doors or go to certain events or stuff like that, but you can make phone calls. Well, we have groups in Miami, Orlando, Tampa, here in Florida specifically, and Pensacola, Jacksonville. And we also have them though in Texas and the Carolinas and Virginia as we're starting to ramp up into, and Nevada and Arizona and Montana. So we're really across the entire nation. There's an opportunity for anybody who wants to get involved. We can find a way for you to do it.
Well said. One more time. How do people plug in? What's the website? How do they plug in?
They can find us at cv4a.org. Again, that's CV, the number 4a.org. They can just simply Google Concerned Veterans for America, not of, but for America. They can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Concerned Vets. And if they want to look through me, they can find me at Jimmy T. Smith on Twitter, and I will help guide them in the right path.
Or cvafrontlines.com. Okay,
yes, sir.
Jimmy, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments. I appreciate that. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform and out of uniform. We're brothers. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking and dealing with PTSD with Marine vet Modesto De La O. Then football co-host Quentin Roberts will review last week in Service Academy football games. And we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.